For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 1st, 1996. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron is the minister of the morning.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Aren't you glad that the Lord saved you? Listen, not only did he save you, he's keeping you. And he's delivering you. And he's going to present you. Hallelujah. On that, he's going to present you spotless, without blemish, without a wrinkle. When we come to that part, he saved me, I want you to sing the first save me, and then I want you to echo it. Alternate it. He saved me. I'm going to see if I do better than Bill. He saved me. He saved me. And all together, he saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. He's my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. He's my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. He is my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. No more bondage. No more bondage. Now that I'm free from the enemy, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Oh, no more bondage, no more bondage. Now that I'm free from the enemy, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. No more bondage, no more bondage. Oh, now that I'm free from the enemy, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Ain't gonna be sick no more, ain't gonna be poor, ain't gonna be bound no more by the enemy. Whom the sun sets free, is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Ain't gonna be sick no more, ain't gonna be poor. Ain't gonna be bound no more by the enemy. For whom the sun sets free, is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty.
Now listen, we're going to sing it as a declaration this morning. Ain't gonna be sick no more. Ain't gonna be poor no more. Ain't gonna be bound no more by the enemy. Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Are you hearing me this morning? Let's declare it. Ain't gonna be sick. That's right. When we come to no more, I want you to shout. Ain't gonna be sick. Ain't gonna be poor. Ain't gonna be bound by the enemy. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Ain't gonna be sick. Ain't gonna be sick. Ain't gonna be poor. Ain't gonna be bound by the enemy. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. He is my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. He is my comforter, my helper. On him I do depend. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Hallelujah. Rama mama somboro modela borora borera mara boromo. Simranda mondo seco boloro borandi. Hallelujah. Anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, anointing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Touch my hands, my mouth and my heart. Fill me up, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall one more time. Oh, anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Shura mama sura dala barasi paramara. Anointing fall on us this morning. Jesus, have your way in this place. It's the last day of the feast. Hallelujah. But oh Lord, you very often leave the best wine on last. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Reign, Jesus. Sing it. Reign, Jesus, reign. Reign, Jesus, reign. Reign, Jesus, reign. King of Zion, Judah's lion. Reign, Jesus, reign, lifting holy hands, lifting holy hands to you. I dedicate my life anew, and as I stand before your throne, you will make your glories known. Reign, Jesus, reign. King of Zion, Judah's lion. Reign, Jesus, lifting holy hands. Lifting holy hands to you. I dedicate my life anew. And as I stand before your throne, oh Jesus, you will make your glories known. Reign, Jesus, reign. King of Zion, Judah's lion. Reign, Jesus, reign. Reign, Jesus, reign. Reign, Jesus, reign. Oh, hallelujah. I want your glory, Lord, more than your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. Oh yes, I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Sing it again, sing it from your heart. I want your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I want your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want to feel your touch. I want to feel your touch down in my soul. Your Holy Spirit in control. I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord. Oh, I hunger for, I want your glory, Lord.
Hallelujah. We want your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. Grace us with your presence. The glory of your presence. The glory, Lord. Oh, Ramasu, Ramasana, Ramanamasana. Oh, you may be seated if you can.
Hallelujah. Well, that's my desire. That's a song written from a prayer in my heart. I want your glory, Lord. Above all else, I want to see His glory. We're not talking about the glory. Where's the mic?
I believe the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says, in His presence there is fullness of joy. Now, I'm not talking about silliness. I'm talking about joy. Thank you. Thank you, David. But that's my desire this morning. I want your glory, Lord. I've had thousands of services, thousands of meetings, preached hundreds of times, sang millions of times. But the bottom line is, I want your glory, Lord. Because when His glory comes, all the flesh is swept away. All the flesh is burned away. How many know when His glory falls, His flesh? I'm not talking about the glory of His majesty. That belongs to Him. I'm talking about the glory of His presence. Oh, Ramasha Prostin Indrobosombostekiri. When the glory falls, flesh is burned. People, you know, excuse me, but I hate ties. You know, I think ties were part of the curse. I think when God kicked Adam and Eve out of Eden, He said, and furthermore, you'll wear a tie. When the glory falls, flesh is burned. You know, some people are so afraid of the flesh, they never get released to the Spirit. Do you believe that? I know that. So, they're so afraid of being in the flesh, they're never released to the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, you don't have to worry about flesh. We can soon tell flesh. I can walk around this hall and I can soon find out where the flesh is. Because when the glory falls, the flesh burns. Flesh stinks when it's burned. Flesh. Burning flesh is, I believe that's true, is it, Doctor? Ask Joel. As Joel, bless his heart, burned his fingers yesterday. But when God comes down, He said to Moses, He says, I have seen the affliction of my people. In Exodus chapter 4, is it? Exodus chapter 40. I've seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I have come down to deliver them. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this morning, when the glory comes down, he comes down to save. He comes down to heal. He comes down to deliver. He comes down to set free. He comes down to bring the joy. He comes down to bring tears. Can I hear an amen? But it's not tears of depression. It's tears of joy. Hallelujah. Tears of thanksgiving. Tears of gratitude. When the glory comes, bodies are mended. Hallelujah. Lives, marriages are brought together again. Souls are saved. Can I hear an amen? When the glory comes. And that's my prayer this morning. I want your glory, Lord. I want to feel your touch. The problem, and no, I'm not, this is not preaching. I'm only, this is something for free. Hallelujah. The trouble is, sometimes as human nature, as humans, we get so habitual. Do you believe that? I believe that. Because how many have sat in the same seat all week? I have. You know, they're not very comfortable seats either, are they? Well, we're going to have to pray that we get some new ones with covered, you know, a little bit broader back for us bigger fellas. But we're creatures of habit. And my prayer is, Lord, don't let me get familiar with the things of the Spirit. I was telling you last night. It's the same idea. Don't let me get a handle on it. You listening? Maeve, Mildred, whatever your name is, Melody. Is it Melody? Melanie, yeah, Melanie. I wasn't far wrong. Yeah, Melody, Melanie, yeah. Praise the Lord. It's got a ring to it, hallelujah. But you know, never let's get a handle on the Holy Ghost. Well, you can, but don't even try. But don't let's get familiar with the things of the Spirit. We think we could turn it off and turn it on when we like. I'll tell you, when the glory begins to fall, cherish it. Cherish Him, hallelujah, when the glory begins to fall. Can I hear an amen? I want to feel your touch up down in my soul. Do you know how privileged we are this morning? Remember the song I used to sing, Precious Moments, Privileged People? When you realize the good things God has done. Lift your hands and shout amen, friend. To the thankful heart, a double portion comes. Cherish that anointing in your soul. Cherish that touch of God. When you feel the Holy Spirit begin to move inside of you, cherish it. Cherish it. It's precious moments. It's precious moments. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel the power of the Holy Spirit here this morning. Yes. It's been a great camp, hasn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Haggai chapter 1. The best way to get to Haggai, go to the end of the Old Testament, go back 3 books. And I concur with what Doc says about Glenn Miller can squeeze the most out of that bucket I've ever seen. His name is Mac Miller. I think he's a Scotsman there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a great camp, hasn't it? Hallelujah. The river has been flowing. And it's up to you and I, you know, to get into the river. Amen? Remember my tapes, if you haven't got them already, they're at the back, out beside the door, going, this is your last chance. And be sure and get them. There's a tape there, by the way, entitled Reign, Jesus Reign. That song I just sang just now, that's the title track of it. And it's a tremendous song. It's blessed a lot of people and sang all over the world, actually. And it'll bless your heart. So get the hold of the book and the tapes and take me home with you. Because I'll tell you, let me qualify that. I'm not here to sell tapes. I'm here to minister to you. I'm here to minister to the Lord. And as we minister to the Lord, in turn, He ministers to us. But I believe the tapes and the books are part of my ministry. And long after we've gone, you're going to be singing some of the songs of Zion. Hallelujah. And because, you know, if I was in the industry, you know, there's a difference between the gospel ministry and the gospel industry. If I was in the ministry, I wouldn't be here probably. I'd be in some big auditorium or doing something today and amongst thousands of people. But we're in the gospel ministry. Hallelujah. And we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm going to base my thoughts this morning on Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. Let's take a look at the book. Hallelujah. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Let's read that again. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. What I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes is God stirring your spirit. God stirring your spirit. Hallelujah. It's not enough to have our minds stirred. It's not enough to have our emotions stirred. Folks, we need to have our spirits stirred. Hallelujah. We need to have our hearts strangely warmed. Hallelujah. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as Jesus began to explain the scriptures to them, the Bible says they said to one another after he was gone, did not our hearts burn within us? And I'm going to tell you, when your spirit is stirred, your hearts will begin to burn. You'll have heartburn. Hallelujah. But God wants to stir our spirits. The trouble is, so many times we live in a mundane realm. We live in an earthly realm, in an earthly sphere, in a carnal sphere. And the Holy Spirit is trying to bless us and stir our spirits. But we're so controlled by our peers and what's wrong about us and carnality that some of us never get into that spiritual realm where the Holy Ghost can really minister to us. God stirred their spirits. Let me give you a little synopsis on the story. About 600 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and besieged it and captured them and put Jerusalem to the torch and obliterated it and tore the walls down, looted the temple, and took the remnant of the people back to Babylon, which we know as the Babylonian exile. And they're there for 70 years. In the Babylonian exile, and it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Here they are in a strange country with a strange ruler and a strange culture, and I'm sure they thought many, many times, we'll never get back to our city again. We'll never get back to how it was. Things will never be how it was. We'll never be released from this captivity. But how many realize this morning, and how many has ever been in that situation where you felt helpless and hopeless? My hands up. We've all been in that situation. But I'm going to tell you this morning, let me tell you something. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care what situation you're going back to this morning or this week. Let me tell you something. In every situation, whatever you are or whatever you feel or whatever you see, things are not always as they see. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Because I'll tell you why. And behind it all, God is silently planning for you. God is silently planning for you. Why do you think you're here this weekend? You're here because you just happened to get a reservation and happened to come down and you just happened to be hungry for more of God. No, God is silently planning. We're in the palm of his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Can I hear an amen? And here they were in just total helplessness and hopelessness. And it felt like, it seemed to them, I can imagine, that they'll never get back, they'll never get released. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 1, you know, Ezra and Haggai talk about the same time period. The Bible says in Ezra 1 that God moved in the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to release the children of Israel and bring them back and send them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. Isn't it amazing? In God's plan, an ungodly king was included. Isn't it amazing God could get the ear of an ungodly king? He got the ear of Pharaoh, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And I'm convinced sometimes it's easier for God to get the ear of an ungodly person than it is for him to get the ear of a religious person.
Right.
Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Because, I've met religious people. I've been a bit religious myself. I'll tell you the truth. I was about 2 or 3 months ago, it was September, we had a camp meeting in our church in Virginia Beach, and the Holy Ghost fell, and I started shaking, and I'm going like this, and after I came out of it, after a while, my wife said to me, well, what was that you was doing? Because I believe oftentimes when you fall out in the Spirit, you'll do actions that really has got significance to it. I remember my father, years ago, I'm talking about many, many years ago, when my father first fell off his seat under the power of the Holy Ghost, he started making an action like he was cutting the sheaves and binding them up and throwing them in the back of a truck. And when he got off, we're looking at him, I'm just a little boy, we're looking at him, here's him, you know, taking a sickle and harvesting and throwing him in. And after he came off the ground and got back to normal, or abnormal, I think that was a normal, he said, you know, I was under the power of the Holy Ghost, and I saw myself just reaping a harvest for the kingdom. And that's exactly what he was doing. So I'm sitting there in Virginia Beach, and I'm going, yeah. My wife said to me when I came to, she said, what was that you was doing? I said, well, I just felt in the Spirit. I was shaking off all these religious trappings.
Amen.
All these religious trappings. Can I hear an amen? And I'm going to tell you something. What's taken years to get in is going to take years to get out sometimes. We've got that beware. Sometimes we think, oh, well, we're free. And all of a sudden you hear some thing from the past come up saying, that bondage is still there. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. Let's get in the river and get cleansed again. Amen? So, you know, sometimes it's easier for God to get the ear of an ungodly person than it is for him to get a yield of a religious person. Because a religious person, they're the kind, they have that attitude of seen it, done it, been there, bought the T-shirt. No, I know that. I know what I'm speaking about because I've been there. Heard that before. Done that. And I'm going to tell you something. This tremendous move of the Holy Spirit we're seeing in the 90s all over Toronto and Pensacola. And I'll tell you now, there's thousands of religious nuts looking on us and being there, seeing that, don't want it. You know? But I'm going to tell you, I want everything God has got for me. Everything that is good. Everything that is honest. Everything that is wholesome. Can I hear an amen? So God got the ear of an ungodly person, Cyrus, king of Persia, and he sends them back to Jerusalem. Not only does he send them back to Jerusalem, but the Bible says he gave them all the gold and the silver that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from the temple. 5,400 pieces of gold and silver. That's a lot of loot, isn't it? What does that say to me? I'll tell you what it says to me. When God puts you on a mission, he provides for you. When God puts you out, he provides for you. Now, I alluded to this the other night. I hate beggars. I hate beggars. Because God never meant us to be beggars. God wants us to be blessers. I mean, you know, you've heard these radio advertisements, oh, if you don't send your money, I'm going off the air. You feel like saying, well, I wish to get off the air and let somebody with faith on it. It would really bless the body of Christ. But it's this begging mentality. You know, just begging mentality. And God couldn't do nothing with that beggar mentality. God wants to change our minds, can I hear an amen? And he wants us to get the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was certainly not a begging mind. It was a giving mind. It was a blessing mind. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So when God sends you out, God is going to provide for you. I've been in the ministry for 29 years. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm like David. I was young, and now I'm a little older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Then his seed begging bread. You've never heard me come to this camp begging, have you? I've been here for years. Listen, you'll never hear me begging, because I'm not a beggar. I'm a child of the King. Amen. God's wonderfully provided for me. Now, he doesn't always provide every Friday. See, that's the problem sometimes we get into. He doesn't always provide every Friday, but he'll provide for you. I remember the year before, the Holy Ghost had hit me, like I told you the other night, when the Holy Ghost hit me, I started to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And I still do. I'll drive up the highway and play my, you know, I play my cassette tapes and the praise tapes and not my tape. I mean, you know, I do play them too, but I don't want to sound on my ham. But I'll listen to all these different praise and worship tapes and the tears will just begin to flow, you know. And I'm sure people look in the van as I'm traveling and think, oh, just somebody's, he's surely going to wait at a funeral. Somebody's died or something's wrong. His wife left him, or, you know. If only they knew I was worshiping Jesus. I was just telling Jesus how much I loved him. See, I'll tell you something. If it doesn't work in your car, it doesn't work here. If it doesn't work in your kitchen sink, girls, it doesn't work here. Fellas, if it doesn't work in your pickup truck, it doesn't work here. This is not an experience. This is a lifestyle. Can I hear an amen? And the Holy Ghost had really blessed me, and the meetings were tremendous. But somehow or other, my finances fell through the floor. And the first time in 28 years, I mean, I really was stuck. I was behind the eight ball by $2,000 or $3,000, and you know, I've never been like that. So I just came back from Phoenix in April, and I'm sitting there one day, and I mean, I'm talking about, I saw the Holy Ghost moving, people healed. I saw a guy healed with stomach ulcers in my church. I prayed for him for 17 years, stomach ulcers, a professor, and God wonderfully healed him and totally transformed his life. I seen this person saved, and this one healed, and that one delivered, and all kinds of wonderful things. And here I'm sitting one day, months later, discouraged. And I'll tell you, discouragement is one of the devil's tools to get you down and to weaken you and to blind you. And I'm sitting there one day, I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I says, I'm in a hole here and I'm stuck and I need help. And I was just sitting there kind of having a little pity party with myself. Of course, I know you guys never have pity parties. I know better. It doesn't matter if you talk with a funny accent. You're just the same as me. And I was sitting there one day and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I'm really in a hole here. And I don't know what to do. I mean, a lot of what was happening was, you know, a lot of people were getting drunk in the Holy Ghost, and I wasn't selling any tapes, and, you know, that's about a third of my income. And, and they were getting drunk, and I would be back to the record table, and they're still on the floor, and I'd be, you know, time to go, and had to go out to some other place, and this and that and the other, and The old devil came to me and said, well, if you just calm down with that Holy Ghost stuff and get back to your normal meetings, you'll sell more tapes and books and it'll help you. And I said to them, I said, devil, I said, if I never sell another tape or book, I want the anointing in my life. I want the anointing in my ministry. And something broke. Something broke that very minute. The next week, I got a check from a church in Seattle for $10,000. An amazing thing about this was, it was a church of 15 people. 15 people that I hadn't been to in 8 years. See, God can take the ravens, a bird that doesn't eat cooked meat, a bird that eats raw meat, and he can make that raven change its natural habitat in order to feed his servant. The Bible says the ravens brought cooked meat to Elisha. Hallelujah. And Elijah, and he fed them. Well, I mean, God can do anything. God can take a church of 15 and meet your needs. Not only meet them, but he didn't only meet my needs. He met them well, far above and beyond what I needed. And did I get to rejoice on that day? Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is, if God wants you to do something, he'll provide for you. I don't care who you are. He'll provide for you. He maybe won't do it every Friday, but he'll do it in his time. Well, I digress a little bit there, but I just wanted to bless your heart with that. So they're released back to Jerusalem, and they get back to Jerusalem, and they start to build. And then the Samaritans and enemy from the north come down and start to put fear in them. And before you know it, all building is stopped on the temple and on the walls. You can't hear a hammer and a chisel, because fear has been placed in their hearts. Now listen, fear is the dark room where you develop all your negatives. Fear is the dark room where you develop all your negatives. If the enemy can get fear on you, he's going to have you paralyzed with fear. Can I hear an amen? That's the way he works. He'll paralyze you with fear. I read a story one time about a ferret. You have ferrets over here, like weasels, like elongated rats, you know? What do you call them, ferrets? Yeah, ferrets. We call them ferrets. Ferrets in Scotland, ferrets. So you know what I'm talking about, ferrets. And I was watching a Discovery Channel one time, and it was this ferret chasing a rabbit. Rabbit? And, you know, a rabbit can outrun a ferret. But what happens is the rabbit runs, and this is an amazing story. The rabbit was running, and as it was running, into the rabbit mind came, I wonder how far that ferret is behind me. So the rabbit would stop and see the ferret, and the ferret was quite a ways behind, but when he saw the ferret would look at that rabbit from a distance and hypnotize him with his eyes. And the rabbit would paralyze with fear. And that ferret would just creep up. Never take its eyes off its eyes. Creep up and right up, the rabbit couldn't move, and ooh! It was gone. I'm going to tell you something. If the devil can get you afraid, he'll have you paralyzed, immobilized. And here they were in Jerusalem. No, they were all the work was stopped. Nothing done except their own houses. But the work of the Lord was stopped. And this is where we come to the story here in Haggai. Verse 2. We'll say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Let me ask you a question. Who are these people? I'll tell you who they are. They're complacent people. They're fearful people. They're disobedient people. It's amazing to me that after the tremendous release from Babylon and the miracle that they saw getting the gold and the silver back, it's amazing to me that the same people would allow a smaller enemy from the north to come in and put fear in them and to stop them for fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. But aren't we like that sometimes? We come out of these meetings, Satan is under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. And before you hit 100 miles down the road, he's put fear in you. Wait till you get home. You think you've had a good time there, but just wait. I've got some circumstances for you when you get home. But I'm going to tell you this morning, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's a liar. In fact, the Bible says he's a father of a liar. He can't tell the truth if he tried. So if he says, I've got something for you, you ain't going to make it. It really means you've got it made. That's what it really means. If you're going to go under, no, it really means you're going to go over, because he can't tell the truth. He always tells a lie. These people say it's not yet time to build the house of the Lord. Now, you need to be careful who you talk to and who you get a report from. Whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. If you ask a wrong person, if you ask a depressed person about what they think about the move of the Holy Ghost, you deserve the answer you get. If you ask a deadhead, a stuck-in-the-mud religious nut, you deserve the answer you get, because they're not giving you the right answer. They're giving you a religious answer. They're giving you their answer, and their answer is nothing because they're not living or flowing in the Holy Ghost. And I say that lovingly now. That maybe sounds a little hard, but I say that lovingly because I love everybody. That's what the Holy Ghost does, you know, makes you love everybody. Remember the old song? The old song, the old-time religion? It was pretty much true way back then. Makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody, and it's good enough for me. It reminds me of this story. My uncle was in a wedding years ago. I maybe told this before. And we're talking about moving in the Holy Ghost. And my uncle was in a wedding, and it was one of those family matters where you had to go to whether you liked to or not. You know, one of those things you have to do sometimes. And it was an ungodly wedding. A lot of Scotch whiskey was there. And you know, after the meal, they're standing in this room, and they're talking to one another. And this guy had been holding up the bar for about 20 minutes. And he comes, kind of, you know, drunk. And he looks in the door and says, "Hey!" He made a little bit suzzled. He says, "I love everybody except the barber." And seemingly the barber years ago had given a bad haircut, and this guy never forgot about it, even in a drunk state. He never forgave the barber for a bad haircut. Of many barbers, I'd need to forgive. I'm very fussy about my hair. But anyway, so he disappears again. They laughed, and he disappears. About 20 minutes later, he comes back again. He'd been holding the bar up a few more minutes, you know, and he's a little bit more sozzled and inebriated. And he looks again and says, "Hey," he says, "I love everybody except that barber." And that's all he says and disappears. 20 minutes later, he comes back, just gone, you know, gone with the wind. And he goes in, he says, "Hey!" He says, "I love everybody, even the barber." You see, when you get full of Jesus, you love everybody. The more you get full of Jesus, the more hate comes out, and unforgiveness comes out. Can I hear an amen? So you get filled up the Holy Ghost wine, it'll make you love even the barber. So anyway, these people, you have to watch the report you listen to. I mean, you think of this. Remember the story in Luke 8 when Jesus went over and they delivered the demoniac and cast all the devils into the pigs? 2,000 pigs. That was a big herd. I mean, that's a big herd today. That was a humongous herd in Bible days. And the Bible says the pigs ran down and went into the water and drowned. Do you imagine asking a pig farmer, "What do you think of the move of God?" Think about it now. Move of God? Ruin my business. I went belly up. I went bankrupt. But if you ask the demoniac, "What do you think of the move of God?" "Once I was bound, but now I'm free." Oh, whose report do you believe? These people say it's not yet time to build the house of the Lord, but it was time because God sent them out from Babylon to build the house of the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? Hallelujah. God's stirring their spirit. Listen, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. "Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little." Oh, there, right there. You know, God, he's not just saying something just off the cuff. He's been very specific. "You have planted much, but harvested little." He's not talking about bad economics there. I mean, it wasn't only bad economics not to plant much and harvest little. It was sin. Because God said, if you're right, when you harvest, you will reap. Can I hear an amen? So he was going to dig into them. He says, "You have planted much, but you have harvested little." There's sin in the camp somewhere.
Yes, sir.
This is so good. I wish I was out there sitting with you to hear this. Praise the Lord. "You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it." This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Give careful thought to your ways." Verse 9. "You expected much, but see it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away." Isn't that amazing? When you're disobeying God, nothing works. Nothing works. You try and save some money. You finally get it home. Before you... Where's all the money going? "I've blown it." "No, God blew it." "I blew that money just now." "No, you didn't really. God blew it." He says, "I blew it away." Because when you're disobedient, nothing works for you. "What you brought home, I blow away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house." Isn't that amazing? They had been busy building their own homes, their own sealed homes, and yet the house of the Lord was being at waste. And how many times, folks, are we busy like that? We have the finest in our homes. I have a beautiful home in Virginia Beach. I have the finest of everything. And yet sometimes, when the pastor says something, now we have a need in the church today, you'll take out a 10 or 20 bucks and think you're doing well. Is there something gone wrong? Is my hearing gone wrong? Is anybody in the room? Say something. I know I'm not seeing a dream or vision. But isn't it true? I'm just being honest with you. I'm bearing my soul too. The truth will set you free. But aren't we like that? Sometimes we'll have the finest ourselves and we give pittance to the gospel. A lion stands up here, a dog stands up here, I stand up here, talk about the offering. And people freeze up. It's I'm asking for money again. You never give to the Lord before the Lord gives it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? Well, let's carry on. You didn't like that part. I'm only teasing. Verse 10. Therefore. Now, when you see therefore, take a second look and see what it's there for. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. Now, this is I haven't even got to the point of my message yet, but listen, this is important. Therefore, because of you. Now, I can hear the children of Israel say to the Lord, but the Lord, it wasn't us. It was the Samaritans and it was the enemy from the north. They came down and they put fear in our hearts and they've immobilized us. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, because of you. I'm going to tell you, folks, you can't blame anybody but yourself. But it's that pastor. It's that brother of mine. It's that usher. It's that deacon. He offended me, and I'm not going back, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. Because of you. You're only helpless when you blame others. When you stand before God, you're going to have to pay account for you, not me. Aren't you glad? I mean, because of you. And so many times we allow the enemy to have us thinking that way. Well, it's them and this and that and the other. I'm not coming back. And we just get out of the church. We sit at home and we sit and watch that boob tube. And we blame this one. We blame that one. No, that's what the Lord will say to you. The Lord will say to you, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. Are you hearing me this morning? But listen, in verse 12, there comes a turnaround. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. God is chastising them. The Lord is chastising them. But listen, there comes a turnaround. And the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you, folks, the minute you start obeying the voice of the Lord, something begins to happen. Something begins to take place. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. I'll tell you what took place. The Lord stirred their spirits. Glory. Nothing had been happening. They'd been busy doing things. But nothing had been happening. But the minute they started obeying the voice of the Lord, whatever he says unto you, do it. Are you hearing me this morning? The Bible says that God began to stir their spirits. Now, let me ask you a question. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Let me ask you a question. Where were the fathers? Where were the fathers? It's a good question. Let me tell you, fathers and mothers, if you don't get in the river of God and get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll bypass you and take your children and fill them with the Holy Ghost. And set them on fire for the Holy Ghost in the river of God. And they'll go blazing a trail with a mighty revival if you don't go in it. Are you hearing me? I've got four children. I want them involved in the ministry. Oh, I can't make them. I want them, right? I've prayed, and I believe God's going to do it. But I don't want to hear any of you people saying 10, 20 years down the line, where's that good-looking guy who used to play the accordion? Whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to that good-looking guy who played accordion? There's his kids there, praise the Lord, but whatever happened to him? By the grace of God, I'm going to be right with him. My father was with me till 3 years ago. Push him on. Go on. Preach it. Sing it. Tell him about it. I don't want to be a has-been. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. We want to be right there. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody saying, where is he? I want to be right with him. God changes my direction in a different field. So make up your mind this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning? God stirred their spirits. Now, the trouble is that some of us, and I want you to bear me out until I finish and don't jump to conclusions. Because some Christians, that's the only exercise they get, you know, jumping to conclusions. Bear me out. The problem with some of us is this. Some of us, we've only had our minds stirred. Our minds stirred. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it doesn't cut it. If all you have is a mind stir, you're missing the point. I love good preaching, and I love good expository. And I listen. My pastor's an excellent preacher, and I listen to tapes, and I love good preaching, and I love to listen to the word brought out and the good exegesis. But I'm going to tell you something. The letter kills, but it's the spirit that gives life. If it comes from the head, it's going to go to the head. Are you hearing me this morning? I think I told you the other night, I was in my mother-in-law's house, and the years ago, and bless her heart, and I have a tremendous mother-in-law, I have a great mother-in-law, you know. Of course, she's 4,000 miles away, it helps. But I'm only teasing, I have a lovely mother-in-law. She's 80 years old, and I couldn't get a better mother-in-law. I'm going home to see her in January, But, you know, I used to live about 15 miles away, and we had our own church, and then she went to a Pentecostal church. The pastor was a tremendous preacher, very conservative. So one day I'm down for lunch, and we're having lunch. I said, "Hey, Allie," I said, "how was your service today?" She said, "Oh, it was great. Preacher preached a tremendous sermon." I said, "What did he preach on?" "I can't remember. I'm talking about an hour after the service. I can't remember." And there's nothing wrong with her mind. See, if it comes from the head, it's going to go to the head. Yeah. And it doesn't go any deeper. I remember hearing a story about these tourists in the turn of the century went over to England to tour. And one of the things they wanted to hear was Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. They wanted to hear Spurgeon preach. And in London at that time, along with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, on the other end of the city, there was Principal Parker, who was a great preacher as well. And he was preaching. So in the morning, they decided to go and hear Principal Parker preach. So they went in to hear him, a tremendous preacher, great expositor. And as they were coming out, it was recorded. And how they managed to get this conversation recorded, I don't know, but I read it years ago, and I remembered it for some reason. Holy Spirit quickened it to me, I reckon. They were coming out of that church, and here is what they were saying to one another. What a preacher. What a preacher. What a preacher. And at night, they went along to hear Spurgeon. And Spurgeon was a tremendous preacher. To us pastors and evangelists, you know, he's called the Prince of Preachers. Every preacher has a Spurgeon book in his shelf somewhere, if not several. Or you're not worth your salt, trust me. And they listened to Spurgeon preach and open the Word of God. And as they were coming out, this is what they were saying to one another. What a Christ. What a Christ. What a Christ. What a Christ. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when I leave here today, I don't want anybody saying, what a singer that guy was. Because my voice had been bad all week, for one thing. What a singer he was. What a preacher he was. What a funny guy he was. No. I'll tell you what I want to hear you saying. What an anointing he had. What a Christ that man has. What a salvation that man has. What a touch of God he has in his life. Why? Because that's what counts. It doesn't matter how clever you are, how you can articulate. It's how much anointing you have in your life and what you're doing with it. Can I hear an amen? It's more than just a mind. I'll tell you what. There's millions of people sitting in churches all over America today imbibing the word. But it's not going any further than here. The most of them are thinking, oh, if we can only get out of here by 12 o'clock, we'll get lunch. Well, shall we go to lunch today? A mind stirred. No, some of us all we've had is our minds stirred. Anybody here this morning thinking about their lunch? We'll smell it in a few minutes. And then we'll begin to think about it. You see, the church is not built on education. Now, the church is not built on ignorance either. But the church is not built on education. The church is not built on speculation. And the church is certainly not built on imagination. The church is built on revelation, who Jesus is. After all, those that were the most clever people in the Bible days, in Jesus' day, was the Sanhedrin. They knew all the Greek and all the Hebrew. They could tell you all the words, all the Greek words, all the Hebrew words. They could talk about the law of Moses. They could talk all about the Torah and the Talmud. They usually talked out of the Talmud. If they talked out the Torah, they would have been in better shape. But they had their little commentary, that the Talmud, that's what they used all the time. And they were the most clever, most educated people in that day. And you know what they did? They sentenced our Jesus to death. That's what the clever people did. They sentenced our Jesus to death. Now, it's not education. It's not a mind stir. We need to have more than a mind stir. Can I hear an amen? Some of us, all we've had is our emotions stirred. Now, hear me out. Don't jump to conclusions. Because I'm coming somewhere. I'm getting somewhere. I often think pastors and evangelists, we're nothing but glorified cheerleaders. Yeah, we get the people stirred up. Come on, sing it again. Oh, rah, rah, rah. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Come on, sing it again. We get them all excited. Stand up, shout, wave your hands, dance, jump, laugh, giggle, do. And sometimes I think we're like glorified cheerleaders. We get them all worked up on a Sunday night, then we go home on Sunday night, and we're kind of skipping and leaping, and by Monday morning, your wife's got to peel you out of bed. And you're saying, my, I don't know what happened to all that anointing. It was there last night. All I've done is sleep. What's happened to it? Is your wife says, come on, honey, it's going to be all right. It's another day. I'll tell you why, because more than likely it was emotions. Emotions. I'll tell you something about emotions. Emotions will put you on a roller coaster ride. Up today, down tomorrow. Good today, bad tomorrow. Up and down, in and out. No. Sad, glad, mad, happy. I mean, it just pushes a roller coaster ride. Remember Peter? Matthew 26. Jesus, I don't care what they say, but I'll be with you till death. Jesus must have laughed at him, I can imagine Jesus looking at him. Oh, Peter, Peter. Before daylight breaks, you'll deny me three times. But he was really serious what he was saying. But he was full of emotions. Oh, Lord, I'll go across the street. I'll go across the sea. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. What do you mean come out to meet us? What do you mean come out to church on Monday night? Who does that pastor think he is? That's emotions. Matthew 20:21. We have the triumphal entry. You don't have to look at it. I'm just going to share this with you. Just trust me, it's there. Because Doc's waiting for his lunch and we'll have to do one. And Matthew 21, we have got the triumphal entry. When the people are, Jesus is coming in on the donkey and everybody's shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Same people. Crucify him. Crucify him. Away with him. We want Barabbas. That's what emotions do. Just full of emotions. How many remember some of the songs we sing? I'll fly away, O glory. You ask me, what's that got to do with what God's doing that I'll fly away, O glory? You don't know if you're going to fly away or not. We don't know how we're going to go there. Amen? But we get emotional about it. Oh, sing it again. I'll fly away, oh glory. I was just singing a song, Mama's Teaching Angels How to Sing. Remember that one? I mean, who knows what Mama's doing when she's gone? I mean, you can't say Mama's teaching angels how to sing. The angels knew how to sing long before Mama ever went. But you see, it's emotional. Mama's teaching angels how to sing. I mean, it's pure emotions. What about that one? Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. How many ever sang that one in your church? I was singing that one time to myself, and I'm thinking, hey, just a minute. Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. No, I don't have a cabin down here. So why would I be looking forward to heaven in a cabin when I've got a nice big home down here? And then I begin to think, it's not even theologically correct. The Bible doesn't say he's building his cabins. I don't care whether it's metaphors or not. The Bible says he's building us mansions. You know why? Because he's a big God. He's not a skinflint Scotsman. He's a big God. Hallelujah. He doesn't have to get every penny out of a buck. He's got all the money. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. And the gold and the silver too. But we get so emotional. We sing it, it's emotions. No. It's more than emotions, folks. We need to have our spirit stirred. And I conclude with these few thoughts. I have only one closing, which I'm different from Bill Smith. We need to have our minds stirred. Now, let me say this. When we have our spirits stirred, then our minds are stirred. Are you with me? That's why when those that are teachers in the church, when the Holy Ghost stirs them, I mean, that book just flies out to them. When you're a preacher, sermons just fly out that book to you. That's why I'm preaching this today. I've read that for years and didn't do anything for me. I read it a couple of months ago and it just bang. I saw it. God stirred their spirit. When you're a songwriter, I'm a songwriter. When your spirit is stirred, Melanie, you'll recognize that too. When your spirit is stirred, you begin to write songs. The Bible says when you come together, everyone you have. See, when your spirit is stirred, your mind is stirred. We're getting the horse before the cart, right? When your spirit is stirred, your mind is stirred. When your spirit is stirred, your emotions are stirred. Of course we're emotional. Only unemotional people I know are 6 feet under. And some of them are like a second chance. No, no, God works in your emotion. That's why we dance. That's why we sing. That's why we pray and laugh and weep and roll and shake and rattle and roll. Because we're emotional people. And God in His plan of salvation has made allowance for that. Has included all that in His plan of salvation. When your spirit is stirred. I have a man in my church. It's not my church, it's God's church. I'm only one of the guys there. We have a man in our church. And for he's one of those guys, a nice chap, he's a keyboard player. And for years he struggled, he's four little children, he struggled. About a year and a half ago, he comes to us and he said, guys, I want to confess something. He says, the Holy Ghost hit our church about 2 years ago, and about 6 months into it, he comes out and he says, you know, I must confess, I haven't been tithing. I told him, well, serves you right, not much money, you're struggling, you're poor. The Bible's pretty clear, black and white, on tithing and blessing the Lord, amen? You don't have to have a word of prophecy to tithe, you know. But if you want one, thus saith the Lord, you must tithe. So there you are. It's pretty plain in black and white about tithing. And he said, you know, but I says, I'm going to covenant with you guys today. I'm going to start tithing. So I said, okay. So we said, when we prayed for him, and off he went. A couple of weeks later, he's in the meeting. The Holy Ghost hit him, and he falls off his seat. And the last I see him is getting carried out between two men into his car for his wife to drive him home. I'm talking about getting your mind stirred after your spirit stirred. He went home that night, he went to bed, he fell asleep. Which you normally do when you go to bed. But while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And in his dream, he invented this module. There's some kind of module for a recording studio, a module table. Some kind of mobile table for a recording studio. And, you know, when you dream, I don't know about you, but I dream all the time. And I mean, you know, I'm in strange beds and I dream. I can never remember what the dreams are. But this guy gets up in the morning, says to his wife, Molly, he says, I had a dream last night, and in my dream, I invented this thing for a recording studio, and believe it or not, I can remember every detail, every particular, every measurement, and every detail. Now, to cut a long story short, which is very difficult for a preacher, the largest company that provides recording studio equipment has bought his patent, and it told them 3 months ago, you are going to make $25 million off of this patent. When your spirit is stirred, your mind is stirred. We're getting ready to build a new church. It's going to cost $2.5 million. Guess what the tithe is on $25 million? See, the Lord knows what He's doing. Praise God. See, but when your mind is stirred, when your spirit is stirred, your mind gets stirred, when your mind gets stirred, things begin to happen. Who knows who's sitting here today? God will maybe use you and bless you to bless the body of Christ. I mean, that's an unusual story, but I mean, it's a story that happened. I saw it, and I'm there, and he's a friend of mine, and I mean, I know. I'm telling you, it's real. This is real, I'm standing here beside you. When your spirit is stirred, the job gets done. For 18 years, they sat doing nothing. God, the Holy Ghost, begins to stir their spirit. You know what happens? They build the walls in 52 days. Repaired the walls in 52 days. 18 years lying dormant. The Holy Ghost comes upon them, stirs their spirit. And I'll tell you, when your spirit is stirred, the job gets done. Let me tell you, folks, I don't care how many times you've tried before to get that family member saved, but get a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost stir your spirit, and I'll tell you, you'll begin to see results begin to happen. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? When the job gets done, so they build the temple. It was just a plain old building. It wasn't like Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple had gold from the top to the from the east to the foundation. Gold and silver and brass and bronze. Beautiful, magnificent place. This was just a plain old building. But there was something about this building that set it apart from Solomon's temple. Later, in chapter 2, verse 9. And this is what God says. And the glory of this present house is going to be greater than that of the former. Yes, let me tell you something, folks. You maybe don't feel like Catherine Kuhlman's or D.L. Moody or Jonathan Edwards. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in the day when the glory of the Lord is filling His house. Yes. And the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than that of the former. Listen, that's why I wrote that song, I Want Your Glory, Lord. Listen, take the gold. Take the glitter. Take the grandeur. Take the glitz. Give me glory. Give me God. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? This little temple. You know what signified this? You know what separated this temple from the rest? 500 years later, a young mother brings in a little baby boy. to be dedicated to the Lord. And this little baby boy is going to save the world from their sins. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Listen, I don't care this morning. I want the glory of the Lord in my life. I want to stir my spirit. Hallelujah. How many want your spirit stirred this morning? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, the glory is here. The glory is here. The glory is here. We maybe don't feel like superstars. We don't feel like these big names. I'm going to tell you something. God's not in just big names. God's in amongst the people. He's in His temple this morning. And you are His temple. Can I hear an amen? And I'm going to pray. Look, this is the end of this camp. And I'm going to pray this morning that when we leave here, when Solomon dedicated his temple, the Bible says after the dedication and after all the sacrifice, the Bible says that he blessed them and they went back to their homes blessed. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bless you in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we come morning, Lord, and we listen to your word, and we say, Father, yes, we don't want the gold and the glitter and the glitz. We want your glory, Lord. We want your glory because we want our spirits stirred. Lord, we just don't want to move in a mundane realm. We don't want to move in a carnal realm, Lord. We want to move in and get everything you have for us and do everything you have us. You want us to do. In Jesus' name, we want to see the blind healed. We want to see the dumb talk. We want to see the lame walk. We want to see souls saved. We want to see those tormented bodies delivered. Hallelujah. These spirits delivered. And Father, we ask this morning, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Lord, in Jesus' name, as we leave this place this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bless these wonderful brothers and sisters. I bless them, Lord. I bless them. I bless Doc, Lord. I bless Jack. I bless Melody. I bless them all, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless them, Lord. As we part, we will part with your blessing and take this blessing with us to the four corners of the earth. I bless Glenn. I bless Irma. I bless this camp meeting. Now, Father, bless. I bless the food, Lord. As you're about to partake of it, Lord, we bless it to your glory. But most of all, Father, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Father, just bless us now. Lord, we will search for, we long for, we want your glory. So that the walls will be rebuilt. And people will come to your rising. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you all real good.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.